Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I don't think the Sabres can go wrong at 7. I think there's going to be centermen available. There's going to be wingers available. So whether that's Cole Caulfield and Matthew Boldy wingers, whether it's centermen like Trevor Zegras or Kirby Dach or Dylan Cousins, even defensemen, like is Philip Broberg a defenseman you want to consider in that area? So, I mean, that's just one player. I mean, there might be some other defensemen that they covet. But the Buffalo Sabres are going to have options at 7. And I think that all the players that I just mentioned, I think they're really good players and have the ability to be real strong players in the NHL. So it comes down to what do they want to do? What do they want to add to their team? And I think that, again, when I use the term you can't go wrong, I really believe you can't go wrong with any of those players.
This is Craig Button from TSN on with us last hour talking a little bit about the draft. If you missed the interview, it is available in on-demand audio at WGR550.com. And we've been talking hockey all morning, and I got a feeling we're going to be doing mostly hockey for the next 2 weeks because we're waiting for trades, we're waiting for news, we're waiting for more activity around the NHL and something from the Sabres.
Risto for Nikolai Ehlers. Who says no? That's an email I've got here from Tim.
Give me Ehlers.
Ehlers, 60
info.
Points in his previous two seasons.
Ooh, okay.
He was hurt last year. He's 23. $6 million, 6 years. Toss him into your top six. Winnipeg's defense looks like this. Dustin Byfuglien signed for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else signed past this upcoming season.
Well, there is some speculation they would want to re-sign Tyler Myers.
Okay, Myers a UFA.
Okay.
They have Kulik. By the way, it's a collection of former Sabres.
Dmitry, I
Kulikov,
forgot about him.
Myers, don't forget about Beaulieu. Nathan Beaulieu's there and is an RFA.
About him too.
By the way, there's plenty of indication that Beaulieu is actually kind of maybe worth looking at a little bit more. Anyway, they have Josh Morrissey.
Mm-hmm.
He's an RFA after next year. They don't have anybody signed past 2021 on their defense.
Yeah,
and Risto would be that.
Hmm.
Risto
so it's a longer
Ehlers.
Contract, a little more money. A
lot of,
but he's been more productive than Risto.
He's a lot of term. Who is?
You know, Risto's got 3 years left. Ehlers, well, he's had two 60-point seasons. Risto's
yes.
had, what, 340s?
And he's 23, and he plays the wing, and he could be in your top six. Risto for Ehlers. That came in from Tim again. Yeah. Risto and the 31st pick for Ehlers.
I'm trying to think, why would Winnipeg want to make the deal?
Because they need more on their blue line. In this scenario, they like Risto.
Yeah.
And they would say, well, we now have at least two defensemen on our contract for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe they extend Morrissey now. They can do that if they want to. I don't know what their plan is for Kulikov. You mentioned Tyler Myers. Neil Pionk is a guy that they're going to have to.
That's right. They just got him from the Rangers.
They just got Neil
Pionk. Yeah, right.
So just, you know, put it out there. The Risto for Callahan and JT Miller suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
Chad DeMinis has put up, you know, fancy charts that would say that, you know, like the Sabres would do well to do that. Even Callahan, while he's overpaid and it's a one-year contract and you're doing them a favor, he could also be of use to you.
But it's
predominantly
Ristolainen for JT Miller. I mean, Callahan's here for a year and he's going to provide some veteran leadership and a fourth-line guy who plays a handful of minutes.
The Lightning have re-signed Braden Coburn to a two-year deal. He was making 3.7. This year, he'll be making 1.7, sticking around to try to win a cup. So that's a pay cut for Braden Coburn in Tampa.
Who is there? What do they have under contract on defense? They got Hedman. They got Sergachev. Are they getting rid of McDonough or Girardi, right? They're both still there, right? I wanted to see what their defensive group looks like. McDonough's got a lot of term left. He's not going anywhere. So Coburn, okay. Girardi's a UFA, so they can just walk away from... Oh, and Strollman, too. Yeah, okay, so they can walk away from Girardi and Strollman. So Coburn's part... Oh, yeah, okay, so they could still... You could still make a case, obviously, for Tampa to want to get Rasmus Ristolainen, and they're going to have holes on their defense. They've got two long contracts, Hedman and McDonough. Sergachev's going to be an RFA after next season. Sure, okay. It sure makes sense to get a forward And if you want to throw in the Callahan contract, because Tampa Bay definitely needs to add another defenseman.
Texter writes in, Risto for Ryan Nugent Hopkins. Also, don't trade for VZ. He didn't choose us. We shouldn't choose him.
Oh,
that's
whatever.
From Ricky.
Doesn't,
yeah, I don't
doesn't
care
matter.
About
if they think he can play well here, who cares?
Risto in 31 for Kyle Connor. What about Jack Roslovic? He's also in Winnipeg.
Think, I mean, if Winnipeg's moved Trouba, they've done that in part because they're going to find a way to keep Connor and Line A. Those are their two big RFAs, and then signing Myers is a UFA.
Well, this
I
goes
Trouba right. being moved helps them keep
this
all their
goes
guys.
To Craig Button's point, right? Okay, how much is Kyle Connor getting?
Oh, I have no
just
idea.
Toss a number
I,
at it.
I don't. I got to look at his stats.
Any number know. You want.
$6 million.
Okay, how much is Line A getting?
$7 million.
Okay, let's. His agent said he wouldn't take less than 10. Let's give him 10.
He's
seriously.
Getting less than 10.
I don't know if he's getting less. Depends on the length
not,
of the deal.
I don't think they're going to give him the max big deal. I just don't. Not after last season.
Let's say the two of them combined for $17 million. Okay, that would put Winnipeg at $50 million spent at forward. This is to Craig Button's point.
Yep.
And 16 on defense. You're adding 17. That gives them $8 million in space left.
For Myers.
But $50 million at forward.
Yeah.
And 16 on defense.
Right.
So, you know, I had a texter ask, why would they do that for Ristolainen? But they wouldn't do it for cap savings. They would do it because they want to.
Yeah, it's not a big savings.
Right? Again, in this scenario, they believe he's good and he's worth it.
Yeah.
And they would do it, and the Sabres might toss more in. There are 31 teams. There are 31 opinions on Nikolaj Ehlers and 31 opinions on Rasmus Ristolainen. Maybe 12 of them think he's a top defenseman. Maybe the other 19 think he's a bottom pair defenseman. You know, there's a lot of different feelings out there.
I if I'm trading, the discussion on Ristolainen, excuse me, there's layers to the discussion, obviously. If I'm trading Ristolainen, ideally, I'd like a number two center back. But here's the thing with Jason Botrel. We can't approach this as he's making one trade this offseason, and who is it going to involve? Well, guys, it's got to be Ristolainen if he's only he can make more than one trade. But if you're moving Ristolainen, I believe that's the top chip he's got. I'd like to spin that into a number two center. If not, a winger who's going to score on one of those top two lines. I need to move that for forward scoring. In my opinion, you know, you can still look at adding another piece defensively. Who knows what's going to be going on with McCabe or what do they think about Borgen? Do they think Borgen can start here next season? Bogosian will be back at some point, you know, after the injury. Pilot, I would think, would be here again this season after the injury. If I'm moving Ristolainen, and I would like to believe that chip gets me forward scoring help.
One knock on Ehlers. All right, why do you want to trade him? A texter pointed this out, and I looked it up. He's played 21 playoff games, and he has 0 goals. Can't score in the playoffs. That's usually a good reason to trade a guy. Hey, you can't do it.
So, again, I'll file that in the Nazem Kadri gets suspended in the playoffs right. category. I'll handle that problem when the Sabres get to the playoffs.
That's known as the Joe Thornton. You trade him because he's not good enough in the postseason.
Right.
And then he goes on to have a Hall of Fame career.
One of the worst trades ever.
Pretty bad.
As much as we make fun of some of the trades around here, including the Ryan O'Reilly trade, the Joe Thornton trade was one of the worst trades ever. Yeah,
I'm pulling up Thornton to see exactly how bad he was in Boston in the postseason before they decided this guy had to go. Was it more of a culture thing or was it postseason? Do you remember? It was a long time ago.
I thought
ago.
It was kind of a combination
here you go.
Of two, actually.
He played in Boston. Yeah, okay, it was a postseason thing. In 5 postseasons in Boston, Joe Thornton played in 35 playoff games.
And they would have probably had belly up every year.
And had six goals.
That's not a lot of goals.
He actually doesn't. He's not a big goal scorer in the playoffs to begin with. But he's an assist man. He gets his points.
Well, he hasn't been a huge. I'm just looking at his numbers. Actually, he had 2 30-goal seasons with the Bruins, and he hasn't hit one since. But you can lock the guy in for 20-plus goals. And, you know, in the peak of his career, he had a couple 100-point seasons, 300-point seasons. Anyway, you got me off on a tangent. What were we talking about? Ristolainen.
Hold on. Thornton. Thornton's playoff production.
Yeah.
18 points in 35 games with the Bruins in the postseason. And with the Sharks, it was 115 points in 144 games.
Okay. I wanted to pull up the Bruins' playoff history because I'm going to guess there were a lot of disappointing showings from the team in the postseason at that point.
Another texter writes in, record the Risto trade talk so that way next year when he wins the cup and the MVP, we can see where it went bad.
You got Thornton's up there?
I think you can have pretty good confidence that he's not going to win
Ristolainen going against
that he's not going to win the Conn Smythe.
He'll get the Norris.
He might go to win an MVP. I'm sorry, he might win a cup, depending on where he goes. But I think it's a pretty safe bet he's not winning a Conn Smythe.
Norris.
He'll go next trophy?
Year and win the Norris Trophy. Yeah. Look, I
right,
like...
Right, because O'Reilly's going to win the Selke, so yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know what? You can't be afraid of... If you're Jason Bottrell, sure, the Ryan O'Reilly trade stinks, to put it mildly. But you can't be... there's no way you sit there as a GM and think, well, I can't trade Ristolainen. What if he goes somewhere next year and that team makes a cup run?
Well, again, the major difference between the two trades is that Ryan O'Reilly was traded because of stuff off the ice and Ristolainen would be traded because of on the ice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the major...
there's no quote-unquote culture issue, right, with Ristolainen. I mean, if I don't believe he's like a problem in the room or anything, unless they feel he's gotten so used to losing that his attitude has gone downhill. Who knows? But I would think Ristolainen is more so of his issues on the ice and his decision-making at times, which is rather suspect. I would think it's more of an on-ice component with Ristolainen. But whatever. It's the best trade chip you have. You got to make some moves to make this team better. I don't think it's just going to be, you know, using up whatever cap space he's got in free agency. They have $20 million in space. They can certainly buy out a player and save a couple million dollars. But I think he's got to make moves with trades. The best trade chip you have, I think, is Rasmus Ristolainen. You know, someone said that you're willing to trade. Part with. Right, right. I mean, well, right. The best trade chip you have is
Middlestat
Eichel.
Might be a better trade chip, depending. Again,
but I just.
31 teams, you probably have four different players that they might think is the best trade chip. Somebody might think it's, I don't know. I guess Middlestat, Reinhardt, whatever.
Someone might think you have a great trade chip in Rochester, one of your prospects that they really love. Who knows? But I think, with Middlestat, I don't think of him at all about a trade prospect because he's had 1 year. You know, the guy had 1 year in college. He's had one full season in the NHL, and he struggled last year. But there are some skills there that I think are very appealing. I think it would be a mistake on the Sabres' behalf to trade a young guy like that. You know, hopefully he still turns out to be, if they still need a number two center, that guy. If not, and you acquire another center and Middlestat develops, great. Now you're loaded down the middle. Right, we just had in the playoff run for the Bruins, you know, and in recent years, right, jammed down our throats. Four lines. It's no longer two scoring lines, a checking line, and an energy line. You got to build a team that's all four lines. You got to get contributions from all four lines. Well, great. So if you can put together a center depth chart of Eichel, in theory, who you're getting this offseason, and then Middlestat. Okay, you're making yourself a better overall offense. You know, now you're going to get production from three lines, not just one line. And so Middlestat has never entered my thoughts. It's a really short list. And maybe that's the challenge. Maybe that's part of the pressure or the challenge for Jason Bottrell in terms of, you know, who would look at the roster and say, okay, where's the value Jason Bottrell has? It's a really short list. You're not trading Eichel. You're not trading Skinner. You're not trading Dahlin.
By trading Skinner would be funny.
did he get a no? He got a no move anyway, right?
He did.
Okay.
He did.
So who's left?
It wouldn't quite be, hey, well, Gretzky got traded, but it would be like for us, wow, I mean, they signed Skinner to the $72 million and then immediately traded him.
And he talks about how he loves the city. He writes a letter at the website, blah. Anyway, so take those guys out. What's the list? It's Ristolainen. It's Middlestat. It's Reinhardt. It's, I don't know, McCabe. It's... Now we're getting to Olofsson, Nylander, Rochester.
Might have been Pilot or Bogosian
if they weren't hurt. Sure,
but they're
like
both
Pilot,
hurt.
Right. But again, I think Pilot's a good if you're moving Ristolainen, and you think you've got no more than the one more year left for Bogosian and or Scandella, why are you moving Pilot? You know, he's part of this defense corps going forward after next season is what? Scandella's not coming back, even if he's here for one more year. Excuse me. He's done. I don't envision any scenario where Zach Bogosian is a Buffalo Sabre come the 2020-21 season. So after next season, your defense group is Dahlin. I hope Montour, but he's going into the final year of a deal. He's an RFA. Look at the Sabres defensive depth chart. You know, I think if you're Bottrell, you're not trading a guy like Pilot away because I think Pilot is going to be part of this defense group when everybody's gone after next season.
What was that price for Trouba for the Sabres? And could they not do it because they weren't confident they could get him to sign?
They were looking for – what is Pionk's got to make? What does he make? He's got to be on a cost control. Is he on
No. I mean the price to trade for him.
Yeah,
what's
the
Sabres
– what's the equivalent?
What would the Sabres have had to pay?
Yeah, that's why I was trying to see what – like what – because Winnipeg needed to get somebody who wasn't going to cost him a ton of money.
Right.
Pionk. So they got a young, I'm assuming, guy on his entry-level contract. He just had his first full season in the NHL.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean they would have to get the carbon copy trade.
No, but it would have been a lower-paid defenseman who you have control over.
It doesn't have to be that. It could be they could have liked a forward. They could have liked...
Well, I think they... Okay, because I think they're, you know, I think they moved a defenseman, and we just talked about how they might lose Myers and what's going on in defense for them.
No, I understand that, but I'm saying if when Winnipeg puts out trade calls for everybody, like, hey, we're going to trade Jacob Trouba, send us your offers.
Mm-hmm.
Not every offer is going to be a Neil Pionk level defenseman and the 20th pick. It's going to be if they call Buffalo, they say we want the 7th pick flat out. Like would they take? Would they have taken that as just 7th pick flat out for Trouba?
Yeah.
Would they have taken the 31st pick and Jake McCabe, or would they have wanted the 7th pick and Jake McCabe? You know, what's the price for Trouba? And I wonder if the Sabres had what it took, but don't have assurances that Trouba would have signed. He's an RFA. The Rangers might feel pretty good about their ability to bring Jacob Trouba in.
An inexpensive player and a first-round pick. And I just would have assumed it was defense because I think that's a need for them. That's what they were looking for because I think they're about to sink good money into two more forwards. So I would think they would have been looking for an inexperienced defense, an inexpensive defenseman, and a first-round pick. They got their own pick back. I wouldn't have taken the 7th pick overall straight up
for Trouba.
For Trouba, no.
If you knew you could, if you knew you could get him signed to a 7-year contract, how good is Jacob Trouba? Is he a legit top defenseman you could roll out there either with or as Dahlin one pairing, Trouba
right.
another
I think
pairing?
You could roll him out and put together two really good pairings.
Well, if that is what you could do, and he would have signed for 7 years, I would have traded the 7th pick for
that. No, I'm just saying, I don't think Winnipeg, if I'm Winnipeg, I want more than the 7th overall pick for Jacob Trouba.
Right.
I'm giving you potentially, again, right, he's an RFA, you've got to sign him, but I'm giving you potentially a top two, no worse than a top four defenseman for a long time. I need more than the 7th overall pick. And if I'm Winnipeg, I'm still contending for the cup. This pick is probably not going to play for me this season. So if I'm Winnipeg, there's no way that would have been enough for me. I would have wanted a player in the trade who was playing for me this season and helping me.
What if they wanted Olofsson in the 31st pick?
Hmm.
That was just from a texter.
I probably would have done it, but...
Yeah.
I probably would have done it, but I of course I'd be also now saying, okay, now I've got a guy who I was planning in my top six is
gone. I wonder where Olofsson...
I probably would have done it.
Where Olofsson ranks... in the league on the Sabres trade bait board, right?
Yeah, right.
If teams are calling about him first.
Right. Who's the top prospect? The top guy that's outside of
let's
the obvious names here.
You want Tampa's you want to give them they want you to take JT Miller and you give them Risto and they also want Olofsson and you say, okay, we'll take Cernak and give me a rumored dang it.
You're looking for a good blockbuster trade.
Sure, yeah. Give me something big.
You could sink your teeth into. Ryan O'Reilly on draft night. A little something to sink your teeth into. Something a little meat on the bones.
A lot of pieces. Give me the Anthony Davis trade. 3 first-round picks.
Wow.
A former first-round pick. I think there are 2 others, maybe. Here, give me a whole hockey team for 1 player.
What are we talking about, the Lindros trade here?
Sure.
Like 6 components for 1 player?
Yeah,
you just want a trade.
Well, actually, what I really want is an offer sheet, but I don't think the Sabres are going to go to the top level. And I can't. I was actually just pulling up the list of RFA players. Like, who's worth it? If the Sabres were going to offer sheet a player and say, "Here's $10.6 million, and we will give that team our next 4 first round picks," who is worth doing it for the Sabres?
Well, here's my. Can I answer your question with a question of my own?
Sure.
$10.6 million.
That's 4 firsts.
Okay. Are you paying that for a top line right winger? Would you pay that for a number 2 center?
Well, that's that my question is
because you'd be paying your
who's worth giving up 4 first round picks on the RFA board because I can't go to the other level unless I get my 3rd round pick back from Carolina. Who Who do I have?
Hey, the Sabres could put together the highest scoring line in hockey, or highest paid line in hockey, right?
With Marner?
Imagine Skinner, Eichel, and the guy you offer sheet at right wing.
Craig Button would not like that
oh,
line.
Oh, my Lord. Are you kidding? That would be, what would it be, Jeremy? Do the math. 10, 8, was it? That'd be like $28 million-ish for one line.
Maybe 30.
$30 million.
I mean, well, okay, Skinner, I'm sorry, got eight, Eichel's right? 10, yeah, 10, 10, and 9.
9, 10, 10, and 9.
Yeah, 29, $30 million? Dollars?
For one line. Yikes.
That's expensive.
So it's tell me if the guy you have in RFA is going to be my number two center or is going on the most expensive line in hockey history.
I'm just looking up all these. Who's out there?
That would have to be the highest paid line ever.
Brady Tkachuk, right? He's or is it Matt Tkachuk? Which Tkachuk
one,
is it?
The one in Calgary is the RFA.
I always forget which
that's
one
Matthew,
is.
Right? Brady's yeah. in Ottawa. Matthew, yeah. That's the Flames are waiting to see what's going on. To see what the market is going to bear and how much they're
going to pay. Sebastian Aho, 83 points. Yeah. Should the Sabres do it for Sebastian Aho?
And that's a lot.
Here's $10.6 million a year for Sebastian Aho.
That's a lot of money. Can you give me?
He had 83 points last year. He's tremendous. What about, now your top two centers are Aho and Eichel. How do you like that?
Yeah, but $10.5 million.
And you have to.
It's a lot of money.
Is this one of those situations where I have to worry that he makes $600,000 more than Jack Eichel?
No,
like it's a thing.
No, I don't care. But I'm just thinking that's a big contract. What's Reinhardt going to make after next season?
Six and a half.
Okay, so that's 10, 19, that's or you just don't pay 29, him. That's 35 and four guys.
I can't tell you how little I worry about that.
I understand what you're
when
saying.
When I see teams that do that, they're good. Tampa is good.
Yeah.
Toronto is good.
I don't see the Sabres doing this anyway.
An offer sheet?
Yeah, I really don't.
No, probably not.
That's a lot of money. I just don't see them giving up that kind of money.
But I'm trying to find where's the big move.
What about Braden Point?
Braden Point's an offer sheet candidate. Yep.
$10 million.
10.6.
Makes you a better offensive team right away. I just don't see this. I don't think about it as much as you do because I don't think the Sabres are going to do it. Maybe there will be teams around the league finally that will give out offer sheets for the first time in 6 years, whatever it is. I do not expect the Sabres
I would
to
settle
do
for a rumor right now. Jason hey. Bottrell, leak something to the media. Let me say a secret Sabres source.
You want me to just? I could make up a Sabres source.
I'm going to put the bat signal up in the window. And
I
see
could
if
call
what's going
a. On. I could tweet it as a made up, fake, don't believe Sabres source says this, and I'll just put a rumor out there. 803-0550 to join us. The draft is this weekend. We've got you covered right here on WGR. Friday night is round one from Vancouver. 7 to 11 is our coverage. Brayton's going to host it with Joe DiBiase. Paul will be on from Vancouver because he's covering the draft for us. Saturday is rounds 2 through 7. Our coverage will go from 11 until 4 o'clock. Again, Brayton and Joe hosting, Paul joining in from Vancouver. That's the plan. Coverage of the NHL draft and of the upcoming free agency period on WGR is brought to you by Fiegel & Carr, your border attorneys, by Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women, and by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case.
Is it weird that every time we talk about a player, I look to see where he's from?
Because you think that would appeal to a guy who's close
yeah.
to...
Like Skinner.
Skinner.
Close
his
by.
Family's nearby.
Montour. Yeah. Close by. Yeah. Brayden Point. Calgary. Not close enough.
Family probably right. wouldn't want to drive.
Jacob
here.
Trouba. Yeah. Rochester, Michigan.
Almost close. Rochester.
Exactly.
That would have been awesome.
Almost yeah. close. Hey, because this team doesn't have any track record of winning, so you got to try and sell them on.
Hey, Ryan Callahan.
You can be
Rochester.
Near your family. Right. Yeah, Rochester, exactly. That's why that Ryan speculation Gianta, is out there. You
know, yeah. Anyway, when we get back, some speculation, maybe Jimmy Vesey would be available for trade from the Rangers. And one report connected the Sabres with the Rangers and talks about Vesey. When we get back, we'll find out a little bit more about how his first 3 years have gone in New York. Dave Maloney, Rangers radio analyst, on the way next on WGR.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're keeping our fingers crossed. There's a certain few guys that might be there that are that we perceive to be better than the others. But it's a really nice pick to have, and it's really no different than 32 that we had last year where we got Matias Samuelsson, and we were really excited about that. We're going to get a good player, not as good of a player that we get at 7, but we're going to get a player that's going to help the Sabres.
That is Sabres Director of Amateur Scouting Ryan Jankowski. He joined us yesterday, and it is available in on-demand audio at WGR550.com as we get ready for the NHL draft. Ooh. You can join us on that. We're going to talk in a moment a little bit about Jimmy Vesey. We'll get some thoughts on him.
NBC Sports Boston. Joe Haggerty reports that Bruins GM Don Sweeney did not outright reject the notion of trading Torey Krug this summer. He indicated he'd have to receive a mind-blowing offer to consider it. He's a year away from UFA status. Okay.
Darlene for Krug. Okay, no, I'm sorry. Just trying to think of a mind-blowing offer.
That's a good target.
Okay, what's the mind-blowing offer from the Sabres?
I don't really have any.
That would be the part of the problem, right? 803-0550 to join us. So over the weekend, there was a story that the Sabres had been talking to the Rangers about Jimmy Vesey. You remember Jimmy Vesey? Sabres, a few years ago, Tim Murray traded for his rights, and he ended up signing with the Rangers. So we're going to go to our Wester hotline right now, and longtime Rangers radio analyst Dave Maloney is going to join us to talk a little bit about Jimmy Vesey, but there are a few Rangers names in the trade rumor mill. David's Howard and Jeremy, good morning. Thank you for coming on with us today.
Good morning. It's always a pleasure to talk to you guys up in the Nickel City. And, boy, there's a lot of stuff going on in the hockey world, irregardless of the season being over. But I suppose we're all looking forward to next season already.
Yeah, well, we are here. We're trying to figure out where the Sabres are going to go to make their team better. At least, you know, the Rangers know that they have Jacob Trouba, and they're getting Kaapo Kakko, most likely. Jimmy Vesey, let's start there, Dave, with you. Your assessment of his first 3 years as a Ranger, what would you say about him?
I'd say that Jimmy Vesey, he might have been a little bit victimized by the fact that the Rangers went 4 or 5 years without a first-round pick. And so the free agent market became something that they aggressively pursued. And then stories became made out of guys that were in the third round or fourth round, right? And so, but that being said, Jimmy Vesey is a legitimate NHL forward. I think what happened here is just finding his role, given the accolades that he came in with, right? But when he's moving his feet and he's competing hard, he's an honest NHLer that, you know, will press 20 goals a season, which at the end of the day, you know what, 20 goals is a bit of a benchmark, right? In the 80s, Gretzky scored that over a month. Right. But it's a different game now. And Jimmy Vesey will be a valuable asset if he's here or if he's moved on. And if indeed it is Buffalo, if he's slotted in the right position.
You talked about his role. What do you think is his role or the right position, so to speak?
I would think anywhere through 6 to 12 on your forward rotation. He can give you a couple of looks on the power play. You know, he's going to hound the puck. When Jimmy, it's interesting. I talked to a collegiate coach at last year's training camp about Jimmy Vesey, and Vesey did not have a very good camp. And so the collegiate coach asked me about him, and I didn't think he had a very good camp. And he asked me about his speed, and his speed was not something that he was utilizing to the better of his abilities, but somehow David Quinn got to him, and he started using his speed to get in position and move his feet. So, like I said, any deep team, you're certainly going to have your leaders, right? In Buffalo's case, it's going to be Eichel, or it's going to be Ristolainen, or it's going to be Darlene. But the better you can improve your depth, the better chance you're going to be. So, to me, he could be a very, very valuable player on a depth team, and just limit your expectations for him, despite the fact that the accolades that the brouhaha that was created with the Ranger franchise.
You look at his numbers, Dave. So like you said, you know, in terms of his production his first 3 years, 16, 17, 17 for goals, 27, 28, 35. Is it who he is, or do you think there is, and there's not that I'm saying there's anything wrong with that, is that who he is, bank on it, or is there room to grow? Do you think he can grow and get better offensively?
I do think there's a little more offensive upside to him. I really do. I think Jimmy, like most players, right, have to be comfortable in the role, and sometimes that role has to be somehow defined for him and the expectations. Yeah, I do think there's more offensive upside. But in the game, in the day and age where you want to maintain, you know, the buzzwords, speed and pace and all those things to compete through your 12 forwards, that's where he fits. But I do think there's a little more offensive upside. I really do. I mean, he's going to be he's not going to wow you with dazzle, right, upper-end skill, but he will compete and be honest with a little more offensive upside.
I mentioned there's some other names I wanted to run by you in terms of guys that are out there in the rumor mill. Now, one of them is not a current Ranger. He's with Tampa, but he played for the Rangers, and that's JT Miller. So I know he's a little bit removed,
yeah.
So you haven't seen him on an every game basis, but you saw the early portions of his career. What do you think of JT Miller?
I really like JT. He's a bit of a throwback. You know, he competes hard. He's strong on the puck. He's an old school. He's got kind of a bit of an old school attitude also. That sometimes along the way he's been criticized for that. But that he'd be a good fit, you know, behind Eichel and who else have you got in the middle up there?
Well, that's part of the problem. Mittelstadt was, they hoped to be the number two, but the number two center right now is kind of open.
Yeah, no, he'd be another good fit. You know, he's going to be a little more of an expensive fit, right? Because I'm not sure that Tampa, well, who knows the market value. He'd be a good fit in the middle. Strong, honest. Now, you got to kind of stay on him. You know, he certainly matured from, a 20-year-old to a 22-year-old, right? And there's got he's a little bit, I know we had a conversation about, you know, the Buffalo franchise and the structure and the character of the franchise. He's going to need a little structure around him, and hopefully Kruger will provide that mm-hmm. for Buffalo. But he'd be a good fit in Buffalo.
The other guy that I wanted to get your opinion on is Chris Kreider. His name has come up in the past yeah. because he's got 1 year left, and then he's a UFA. And that's a guy who certainly would add some speed and some offensive ability. So what are your opinions on Chris Kreider?
Yeah, you know what? Chris Kreider is a dynamic player. He really is. But there are moments. It's funny. The expression you use is, "Did you see Kreider?" In that tone of wow factor. And then there were not as many times this season where it was, "Did anybody see Kreider?" You know. And he had eliminated those moments this season. And yet, around the trade deadline, he seemed to kind of resort a little more. After the deadline, when Zuccarello was moved, it looked like Kreider had a legitimate chance to get to 40. So if he's playing with a guy like Eichel, who can move the puck and move it into his speed, he is a dynamic player, unstoppable.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it's just those moments where you – here's the thing. I think you're always looking for more from Kreider, but I think if you accept him for who he is now, being a good player, then you're going to be better off with your expectations.
The other two names I want to throw out, Darren Drager from TSN said the Rangers might be listening on guys like Buchnevich and Namestnikov. Either one of those, or both one of those, what do you think of those two guys?
Pavel Buchnevich finally, and I do credit David Quinn, he finally figured out how he has to play in the National Hockey League. You know, having been nurtured basically on the bigger ice surfaces where rink turns are okay, you know, you can go at your own pace. And really a lot of the game is played in the middle of the ice. There's not a lot of small ice game in the international game. Once he decided that he had to compete in the smaller areas, he was a really good player. That doesn't come instinctively to him. And I think David Quinn and his staff have done a nice job of staying on him. We ran a pregame clip late in the season that showed him coming back to defend in the defensive zone. you know, being the guy that was the third man in with an opportunity in the offensive zone, a successive rush, and then turning around defending again, which you had to search high and low for the first 2.5 years of his contract to find a shift like that. So I think with him, if he can kind of stay on that tracking, I'd be surprised if the Rangers didn't make an aggressive effort to keep him, given the fact that the strides he made. As far as Nemestikov is concerned, I think Nemestikov, again, he got judged by the offensive upside when he was playing with Kucherov and Yzerman, right? And I'm just not sure. First of all, I'm not sure he shoots the puck well enough to be a top offensive player. But he plays with an edge, and he was a guy that came to camp last season for the Rangers. Didn't have a great camp. Was a healthy scratch, actually, game two, for the better part of game two against Buffalo. But he figured it out. He's got a good hockey lineage. You know, he played in London in the OHL, played in Tampa, which I think a lot of people think that there's about as good a franchise in nurturing young guys as any. I'm just not sure about his offensive upside.
You know, I thought of one more name if I could squeeze it in before we let you go, Dave. Again, former Ranger. So the Flyers, Kevin Hayes. Now the Flyers traded for his rights. If they don't get a deal done, Hayes becomes an unrestricted free agent. Would that be a guy who you could say would be a good fit as a number two center here?
Yes. No question. I think the thing when Kevin, it's a little. You know, there are some guys that, you know, get tagged with that first pick. And he was a late first pick, and then another free agent signing in New York. Once Kevin figured out what he had to do off ice to maximize who he could be, he becomes a good player. Now, he's not, you know, again, he's not in the Connor McDavid dynamic offensive, that type of player, but you've got that in Eichel. He'd be a good fit in a lot of places. And as a matter of fact, he'd be a good fit back here, too. So, you know, I really respected Kevin for what the growth he's had in his career. It's difficult for a guy to go into a market that he did over a short period of time and convince people that he was going to be a good player for the Winnipeg Jets. But Kevin Hayes would be a good fit in a lot of franchises.
Dave, thanks for giving us your time again. It was nice having you on the show.
Anytime, guys. Keep up the good work, and hopefully we can talk soon.
Dave Maloney, former Rangers player, and now a Rangers, longtime Rangers analyst, joining us on our Wester Hotline with a lot of Rangers names in the mix.
Frank Saravelli reports that Kevin Cheveldayoff of the Jets has a lot of balls in the air. Says the belief is the Jets offered Nikolaj Ehlers to Carolina for one of their right-shooting defensemen.
Where could there be another right-shooting defenseman?
I said I wanted a rumor. Look at we just talked about that one, and here it is. Frank? Frank, you listening? No, I'm kidding. Ehlers.
Yeah, they just added him to their trade
good
board.
Good offensive, speedy winger, scores. Here's a funny tweet. Nick says, pass on Ehlers. He has first-line stats but isn't a first-line player. He gets knocked over by a stiff breeze. I remember people saying that about Reinhardt an awful lot. And if he's not a first-line player, you can play him on the second line.
And he's got first-line stats?
Yeah.
That's a good thing, isn't
it? He's really fast. So he's probably good. He's under contract at a reasonable rate.
He's now fifth on the new TSN trade bait board they updated this last hour. Zaitsev is number one. Nikita Zaitsev. Zucker's there. Kessel's there. Trying to think, wow, Callahan's six? Why is he so high on the trade bait board?
I would go with likelihood of being traded here, no?
Okay, it's not necessarily. I mean, it's a 34-year-old player in the final year of a contract. So he is up there as well, trying to see. Sabres. No. Just making sure. No Sabres on the trade bait board. All right, we'll have Extendo Sports coming up in a moment. Since Skaters top of the hour. We got a deal of the day for you that we want to share this morning. It is a something that will feed your appetite, a project to feed your appetite. Buffalo Pizza Project invites you to get to work on their delicious menu. You can get $20 gift cards for Buffalo Pizza Project. Only going to cost you $10. That is a 50% savings for you. That is our deal of the day. And to take advantage of it, all you need to do is go to mybuffaloperks.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
So I was looking at the TSN trade bait, which we just talked about from Frank Saravelli. Again, Nikita Zaitsev is now number one on the trade bait board, the updated trade bait board. No Sabres on the list. They point out a couple things to follow up on the Winnipeg comment from their GM, Chevy. The Jets, expected to make a series of moves. The Trouba was just the first step in a series of moves. One of which may be re-signing Tyler Myers. That is from Frank Saravelli of TSN. He reports, and a few others have reported about Vancouver looking to make some big moves. The Canucks want to make a splash in front of their fans on Friday night as hosts of the draft, even if it costs them their first-round pick, 10th overall, to do so. Vancouver has been one of the teams linked to Nikita Zaitsev from the Toronto Maple Leafs. Oilers, reportedly, I think that's from Darren Dreger, that the Oilers might have interest in Nikita Zaitsev in addition to the Vancouver Canucks. What other rumor did I want to share with you? Oh, watch the Caps, too. This is from James O'Brien, NBC Sports, points out the Capitals have limited salary cap space after re-signing Carl Hagelin. They got a little under $11 million. They have RFAs Jacob Vrana and Andre Burakovsky. UFAs include Brett Connolly, Devontae Smith-Pelly, and Brooks Orpik. So one of the things out there that's being speculated is maybe the Caps would be open to moving Burakovsky, trading his rights. So Washington is another team to add to the list. Vegas, Toronto, Tampa, Winnipeg.
Did they make a trade?
Not yet. Add Washington to the list of teams that have a combination of not a ton of cap space with UFAs and RFAs they're dealing with.
I stepped out of the room, and I came back in hoping they're – So tell me about the trade.
Let me hit refresh.
There's nothing.
I did not get any
no trade
thing from radio.com.
Maybe
like
tomorrow.
Breaking news.
Maybe tomorrow we'll have a trade.
You know, maybe they're waiting for tomorrow. So maybe right before 6 a.m., Botchel gets up early and pulls the trade.
Real quick, I just want to say, yesterday I heard someone in a criticism of Jeff Skinner say that he hasn't scored a shorthanded goal as like an actual criticism.
Get over it.
Really?
Like all these new standards for what makes a complete player. Anyway, give me a trade.
Instigators are coming up next. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.